This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne here with you on your noon hour. Thanks for joining us to Newsmakers. We are here every noon hour, every weekday, 12 to 1, talking about local issues, initiatives, individuals, ideas, and all of the things that affect our pocketbooks, affect our quality of life here in Salem, Kaiser, Mary, and Polk County. So welcome. Today, boy, I don't have a lot to say because I have a guest in the studio. I want to talk the whole hour. Tomorrow we'll talk. We'll maybe take some calls and we'll talk about some of the actions of the day of the week. But today we have the pleasure of Tom Hoffert being in the studio with us. Now, Tom, I'll try not to disclose too much about Mr. Hoffert that he doesn't want me to, but he has recently taken over as the CEO of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. I know it sounds like Commerce Week because we had the Dallas Chamber CEO on yesterday, but the Salem Chamber is a creature in its own, and it is it's a notable chamber nationwide, many accolades, incredible leadership and changes, and it does things that so many other chambers in the area and in the nation don't do. Honestly, I view the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, and full disclosure, I was a board member for over a decade, and that's kind of indicative of how much I do believe in it, but it's the most influential private sector organization in the area. Let me say that again. The Salem Area Chamber is the most influential private sector organization in the area, and I've been saying on air that I think it's the most pro-Salem institution that there is. The people that are involved there, the volunteers, the board, the staff, and of course now Tom Hoffert, the CEO, they love Salem and the region, and they're there to make it as best as it can be. That's not very good English, is it? As great as it can be. So, Tom, welcome to the studio.
Oh, super. Thanks for having me, Brent.
The listener has to get to know who Tom Hoffert is. So I've known Tom for a number of years since I first got to get involved in the chamber. And I will tell a story, a Tom Hoffert story, actually. I was having some issues with the city, and I told Tom about it too late, and he was like, tell me about that. And I'm just like a gas station owner, right? And I've got this little peon, and I'm a new member. And there's this guy who's like genuinely interested. And he's like, tell me about that. Keep me appraised of that. That's interesting. I want to know what happens. I'm interested in learning about your industry, all the industries. He was, one, genuinely concerned, two, intellectually curious, and three, wanted to make a difference.
Nice.
That was my first exposure to Tom Hoffert. And now we have him many years later going to lead this organization, and I, for one, am thrilled. So there you go, Tom. I don't know if you remember that, and I certainly didn't tell you I was going to say it, but welcome back to leading the chamber. What an awesome opportunity and challenge you have.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's great to be here with you and Dave. Of course, the story you're making reference to was probably about 20 years ago or so. And believe it or not, I'm making my second return. So returning to the Salem Chamber has been just a wonderful thing for me to embark on in my life. I'm on day 31 of this new journey, but I had 6 great years serving the chamber in the public policy role, and just couldn't be more excited to be back, Brent. So thank you for leaders like yourself and our board who are making this opportunity possible for me.
Well, I know that you saw and witnessed how much great work can be done under the tutelage of the great Mike McLaren and all the leadership that he brought in and inspired people to come in and serve the community. And you're born of that mold, and you know that servant leadership that's going to serve the community so well. I just wish you all the best. So I mentioned that the chamber is influential, and I know that a lot of people feel like it got too influential, that there was too much power and the chamber was about the wrong things. And you and I are going to dispel that myth today. You and I, because it's hard to be too influential that all you want to do is make Salem a great place.
Right.
You know, everybody wants safe communities. Everybody wants great schools. Everybody wants people's opportunity to make a good living, to support their families, and so forth. Everybody wants a healthy nonprofit sector. So, you know, there's disagreements in the community about how we get things done. But be pro Salem, it's hard to argue with that. Anyway, let's talk about you, though. I want to talk about Tom Hofford a little bit because people have to understand who is running this chamber. You said you did public policy. It was right out of school, wasn't it?
Yeah, so when I first joined the chamber, I actually joined as an intern, which was a great process. I was at Western Oregon completing my business degree, and one of the things that rounds out any program is taking on a community internship. I was real fortunate to have a couple of my teachers and professors suggest to me that getting involved in the Salem community, given that I was born and raised there, both my parents are retired school teachers at this point, had a great connection to Salem, and Western Oregon had formed a partnership with the Salem Chamber of Commerce under Mike's leadership, as you mentioned. From there, I just really jumped at the opportunity to come learn a little bit more. I have great lineage involvement in the chamber. My grandfather, Woody Lovelace, was a chamber member and owned a downtown business. In fact, if you ever go into Taproot in downtown Salem, that's my grandfather's former business,
really?
Him and Bill Beard.
No idea.
So it's fun to look at the great work that Arbuckle Kostick has done in reshaping that space and in partnership with the Taproot Group. But just a wonderful time in my life to be able to take that six-month period as you're completing a degree and get your feet wet in business. And at the conclusion of that, here I was looking at opportunities at Nike and a lot of great companies, a few even locally in Salem. And Mike tapped me on the shoulder and said, how would you like to come on board and put forward some efforts into the nonprofit sector? And I jumped at the opportunity.
Wow, that's amazing. Because you did have other opportunities, and eventually you did take one. So I also know something else personal about you, but you're a volunteer official. Or you have been.
On the officiating side? Yes,
yeah.
I was previously an ice hockey official and now I've transitioned over to lacrosse officiating for quite a few years and get to do that at the high school and college level.
That is so cool. I mean, we've had people on talking recently about the state of high school sports and officiating and recruiting and retaining and, taking abuse and things like that. So Tom's a hot big hockey fan. Took me to my first hockey game ever and tried to explain to this ignoramus how the game is played and volunteers and jumps in and became an official. And you're doing it at the high school and college level? What?
That's correct.
For lacrosse.
In the sport of lacrosse. And as you can imagine, being an official in any sport is rather challenging now. And so retaining officials and the like. But it goes back to the ethos we all share, and that's servant leadership and being out there for the right reasons and growing the game for the kids. Lacrosse happens to be a sport I've enjoyed since I was younger and a great way to give back. I did some coaching for a number of years, and then an even better way for me to give back was ultimately to step on the field wearing the stripes. So
that is really cool. And those people carry sticks, big sticks. So I'm glad to have you out there.
Great young men, trust me. Great young men.
All right, so we're going to wrap up you a little bit before we dive into the chamber's past and, more importantly, the future and its programs. But you left the chamber to go into industry, and you were with a local employer for several years. And that must have really broadened your horizons in terms of understanding industry and growth and sales, right?
Well, as you can imagine, jumping from the nonprofit sector and you want to round out yourself as an individual, getting in the private sector was very important for me. And I invest in great leaders, surround myself with champions in all areas of my life, and I certainly try to, I should say. Similar to that, going to work for George Puentes and ultimately Ricardo Baez at Don Pancho Mexican Foods was a real treat for me. So I put in nearly 15 years there.
Wow.
And time flew by, and that continues to be one of the most innovative companies that you will see in our city, and very proud to have served there in leadership positions to make sure that organization continues to thrive and be strong in our community.
And what a strong and important institution that is, and how many people it employs, how it affects the entire economy. It's and how much they've been involved over the years. So congratulations on that. We're talking to Tom Hofford, the new CEO of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. We're going to break right now. We're going to come back and tell you what it is they do. Because right now there's some listener out there and like, who the hell are these people and what does this do? So we're going to tell you. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Back to Brent.
Thank you, Dave. And we have in the studio Tom Hoffert, new CEO of the Salem Area Chamber. We got to know him a little bit in the last segment, just a little bit. We scratched the surface. But let's dive into now, what is the Chamber of Commerce and why do they exist? How do they exist? How are they governed? And what the heck do they do in our community? Tom, you want to give us an overview of the programs?
Sure. And starting on that governance, as our large umbrella, Brent, we are navigated by a very skilled volunteer board of directors. And those directors set forth kind of our mission as we go forward. We have a organizational mission to certainly create a outstanding community. And that involves the involvement, of course, of all parts of our sector, be it business community, nonprofits, activating volunteers, our state and local governments. All of us play a key part in that. But the business community is a special place where we can have like-minded people, have very diverse conversations. It's a very inclusive place that invites the community to come together and let's take on those key issues that are facing our community. So be it a third bridge, you look at air service, you look at how we create sustainable communities and how we build and the like. We are a platform and a location where everyone can come to the table and feel that their voice is not only heard but valued. And we are in servant leadership for our member organizations in the business community. We are largely a small business unit. So we have a little over 1,100 members, 1,000 of which have between 1 and 25 employees. So wow. Pretty powerful.
You mean you just don't represent the big money bags?
We certainly do have some large businesses that are at the table, and without all businesses at the table, we would not be a very well-rounded organization. But you do look, as I'm a big analytics guy, and when you break things down, a large portion of our members, well exceeding the 80th percentile plus, are your true small business owners.
Right, and the mom and pops, and they have a place to go, and they have a place to learn. One of the things that, when I talked about influence, a lot of times I think it was misunderstood, and I've talked about how the bond measures, a lot of them got passed with chamber support, political support. You can call it politics if you want, but support for the fire bond in 2008. Chemeketa's big building expansion. The school district, $240 million bond measure. And those were all subsequent to each other and just prior or going into the recession. But the chamber championed them. My argument would be the chamber is a house where they are the convener of the community conversation. And you said inclusive and people can hash things out and talk things out. And the convener of the community conversation. Because in Salem, we have to pull together. We're not going to get it done. Right?
Yeah, we're a community that has so many interested parties that are willing to come together. That is very unique. And we need to continue to foster that, where individuals from across all economic sectors, no matter what their profession and the like, have a safe place that they can gather and share that sort of dialogue. The City Hall is certainly one place that we would hope that would occur. Another place is within our chamber offices, because we are so representative of the community itself. When people think of the business community, is that different than everyday citizens? I would assure you, those are the exact volunteers going out. They're coaching your little league teams. They're the volunteers in your basketball, down at Hoopla and the like. So for me, the passion area where we can bring people together from the business community, really talk about those areas that are affecting us in Salem, ferret out some solutions, but then more importantly, create an activation plan of how we get that done. And certainly there is a long history of support for strategic bond measures that make sense in this community. But there's also activation in the schools itself, putting volunteers and leaders in key positions to help make really sound public policy in our city.
So the chamber is one type of nonprofit, but within the chamber, sister to the chamber, is a 501c3 nonprofit that does a lot in leadership and a lot in youth development. Can you try to tell us about that?
Sure. And I was very fortunate in my time at Don Poncho to participate as a volunteer for the chamber in the creation of the Inspire Foundation. Myself and a number of individuals really felt strongly that the work we were doing in workforce development, in leadership programs that we're developing, are kind of cultivating that next generation of leader, had needed a home and a philanthropic and foundational home. And so the creation of the Inspire Foundation occurred a number of years ago, and that has been transitioned to a number of very capable leaders. And that is actually housed under the Chamber umbrella. The Inspire Foundation is a 501c3 and really operates for the sole purpose of making sure leadership is not only identified, but cultivated. Now, there's no program of where they go from there, but we're tracking and seeing the influences. We walk the walk and talk the talk. We have members of our just quite frankly, as a member of our staff who went through our leadership youth program. If you ever get the opportunity to hear Rian speak, you'll go, wow, it's incredible the products that are being produced, not only out of the Salem-Keizer School District, but through the leadership development programs that the Chamber has certainly been a part of sculpting and making a reality.
That's amazing. I know I've been through Leadership Salem as a professional and later spoke to Leadership Salem groups. And that's for working professionals and young professionals that want to know more about their community and get really a depth of knowledge and a breadth of knowledge about our institutions that we have. But then you have Leadership Youth. You have preparing kids to go to their first job interview, right? They have that, and they have the leadership growth and getting ready to learn, then ready to work, right?
Well, and this week is a great week, coincidentally, time-wise, as we have the CTE Summit occurring down at the Salem Conference Center. We're on day two of three, and that is the gathering of premier industries that have identified that they're willing to do some career development in the school districts around the state. And we've actually expanded that footprint just out of what started as the Salem-Keizer School District and neighboring communities, went statewide last year, and we're now actually national. So we have individuals coming from across the nation. They're gathering right in Salem, paying our TOT rates and filling those hotel rooms and gathering to learn the best practices so they can take that messaging back to their communities and really start to have some great proliferation of information. If we can be a broker of great information that makes other communities more successful, that feels good to close our eyes at night on that. But, you know, we never vary from our commitment to make sure our primary focus continues to be within our region.
And CTE, that's Career Tech Education, and then the facility that's on Portland Road, and it's jump-started by Larry Tukarski's desire to help prepare the youth for livable jobs, livable wage jobs, if they're not going to go college bound. And it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's been incredible.
The last person to ever want credit for anything certainly is Larry Tukarski, but his vision and the people that he puts into motion, and if you worked with any of the Mountain West staff, you're talking about the highest level of not only credibility, but professionalism and commitment to this community. If you look at the work now that Chuck Lee and his group with the CTE Center, the CTech Center, on Portland Road, it is fabulous. And I would also put in a plug that they are always open to take you through a tour and to engage you and show you the great work they're doing in the school district. I think of companies like Modern Building Systems and gentlemen like Alan Rasmus and the work their company is doing to make sure to not only train these young people, but then offer them a place of employment when the training's done. That's full circle leadership, and that's this type of stuff that the Salem Chamber is going to be very big participant in.
That's awesome, and it does require the collaboration with the school district to make it happen. We had the president of Chemeketa in, and we were talking about how Salem has to be the collaboration capital. It doesn't have the resources, perhaps, that a Eugene might, and certainly not that Portland has. So we have to collaborate between and not compete when it comes to training the kids. If it's Chemeketa has the role or the school district has the role, the school district in conjunction with private enterprise. And a lot of those conversations happen inside the building at the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, similar to the entrepreneurial spirit that you see in many of your peers in the city, Brent, we're not looking for the who gets credit for this. We're making sure it happens. And so when we pull all those parties together, we're going to allow whoever needs to be the champion of that to be the champion, but we're going to facilitate the conversation to ensure that it's occurring.
So there are an incredible number. I mean, a good size organization, over 1,000 members, right? 1,200 members, say.
Yeah, just over 1,100.
1,100. And that represents a number of people that are working, the employees. I mean, you're talking about a community of, with Kaiser, a couple hundred thousand. I mean, 205,000, I think, is the two cities combined. Probably 40,000 of those are working for members of the Chamber of Commerce. It's pretty significant.
Oh, I'd say that's probably on the definitely the cautious side. Yes, there's a huge amount of impact that is made by not only chamber members, but business community members in general. We're very fortunate and blessed that a number have chosen to be very active in the Salem Chamber. But our members, whether they're choosing to be active and putting their resources in or not, we're always 24 hours a day working on behalf to make sure this business community is not only sustainable and strong for the long term, but is very intertwined into good public policy occurring in our region.
And we're going to talk about public policy, and we're going to talk about political activism. Political advocacy is a better word, and why you want to be a member. Someone should want to be a member. I'll tell you one story, though, because I know one of the avenues of and goals of the chamber is get people involved in their community. So I ended up, and I didn't know anything. I mean, I met this guy, Tom, and he impressed me. And I met this guy, Mike McLaren, and he impressed me. And I joined and got involved, and I wanted to do more. And I'll tell you, I ended up on an advisory committee for the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the state of Oregon. I ended up on the very first budget advisory team for Salem Kaiser Schools. I ended up, of course, on city council, but I also ended up on a public safety coordinating council for the Marion County. I ended up emceeing an event when the Olympic torch came through. And every single thing that I ended up getting involved with was jump-started through relationships at the chamber. So I think that's important for people to realize. You get in-house, it's not all about the bottom line for just about anybody. It's all about what we can do in our community. So stick with us. We're talking to Tom Hoffart, new CEO of the Salem Area Chamber. We're thrilled to have him. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. And in our studios today, we're talking to Tom Hoffart, CEO of the Salem Area Chamber. He's been on the job a whopping 31 days, but he's not a stranger to the chamber work, the chamber mission, and hopefully has an opportunity to create and expand upon his own vision of the culture there. Right, Tom, do you have any things? I mean, you just walked in the door and you're drinking out of a fire hose. It's all new staff for you. You've been out in private sector industry for quite some time. You're coming back into the nonprofit world. What is it you want to restore? What is it you want to expand?
Well, those are great questions, and we could probably dive on a few of them. Let me start, Brent, by first of all talking a little bit about culture myself. I come from a culture that is incredibly high performing, that I was evaluated based on my successes and what I was able to do to move our organization forward, most times fairly analytical. So this line of work is a little bit different than how Don Poncho grew. And so what I look at and what I am looking at culturally within our organization with staff is certainly creating an environment where people can go be successful, are fairly independent, and understand the mission and the purpose of what our chamber needs to fulfill within our community. So for me, I'm empowering people and allowing people to see what they're capable of, but always making sure to have that friendly push behind that they know they have someone who's going to make sure to keep invested in their lives and understand the scope of the work that they're trying to accomplish and then provide key assets to assist them in that. For me, the culture of the chamber needs to be incredibly welcoming, innovative, and make sure that we are very inclusive and activating our members to become more involved. That is a culture that's going to be important for me internally because that's our long-term sustainability and fulfilling the mission of what a Chamber of Commerce needs to do within its community.
You made some really good words there that link together for me, because that's what you did, or what the chamber did for me 20 years ago, as far as enabling and empowering. And I actually wrote it down when you mentioned it. We talked about leadership. You know, you're not just looking to identify it, but you're looking to foster it and to cultivate it. So because the people do want to be involved in the things they're passionate about in the community, and the chamber is the convener of that conversation. And I can't swear by it, but it might have been you that tapped my shoulder and said, hey, the Marion County is looking for a business community representative to talk about public safety, to be involved in this. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. I'm passionate about that. And that's why I have so much, you know, faith in the mission and the culture of the chamber, and how much, and I shudder to think what it would be like if the chamber had not been here under the leadership of Mike McLaren and the people that followed him and the boards that served for the last 25 years. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's pretty special to walk down the hall, and each morning I take a moment as I walk in the door, and often that's fairly early in the morning, and it's sometimes some late nights, and you look at the wall of people who have served this organization from a volunteer president standpoint, and it's very humbling but grounding for me to understand the great work that these men and women have invested in this organization for no financial benefit of themselves. And you mentioned the R word, and it's really my favorite word when we talk about culture, and it's relationships. This organization is a moving, living, advancing body reflective of the individuals who are willing to come to the table and share their talents. My role is to connect those individuals with the passions that are not only inside them, but also within what their business cares most about, because a number of businesses are already involved in great philanthropic things. If I can connect some links that allow these businesses to throw a little bit of gasoline on that passion fire, if you would, I'm doing a successful job. And I would also challenge and look at with great pride at our staff doing the same type of messaging, because it creates activation, Brent. And for me, activation is the ultimate sign that you understand the mission of an organization and you're willing to invest. There's some inherent benefits that, of course, come with that investment. A, at the chamber, we're always going to put you in the spotlight to highlight your involvement. And then B, that intrinsic feeling that you have inside of being tightly woven into a culture and a part of an organization that is doing big things, that's pretty special and something you can hang your hat on at the end of the night, to know that your volunteer time, because remember, you could choose to put it anywhere, mm-hmm. and it's very limited in most cases. If you choose to invest some of it with us, we're going to make sure that your return, both internally and from a promotional standpoint, is very valued.
And, you know, let's not try to fool anybody. The Chamber is a small business or business advocacy organization. And some people join, because we talked about this, or I mentioned this before the break. Why do people join? And that relationship thing is one of them. There are people who are starting their own business for the first time, fed up with who they're working for, or just feel inspired or passionate or have an idea and they want to buy a family business. They want to start from scratch and they don't know much about it. And how do they get the word out? The chamber actually lays the table and gives them some relationship venues, networking opportunities, opportunities for learning and all of that. It's one reason why somebody would be a member and want to join and pay dues to this private nonprofit. What's another reason a person might join?
Well, we do have a lot of our members that need to invest in something that they know that they can sit back a little bit, tackle their day-to-day challenges within business, and know somebody is watching on their behalf. And so there's certainly the advocacy avenue, and we will never apologize for advocating for the needs of the business person in our city, because we realize it isn't just a business owner or employee that person is. They're a community citizen. And so we have all these vested parties joining together and wanting to move this community forward on key issues. Somebody needs to be at the table to represent the business community standpoint. And that can be in thought conversations regarding taxation, head tax, livability, growth issues, transportation issues. So we can proliferate a lot of ways down that tunnel But the key that I would leave with people is we are watching on your behalf when you may not be able to. Mm-hmm. And if we do call for mobilization and activation from our members, we're going to do so very strategically to respect their time, but also be in those areas of that burning passion.
It's very powerful when someone who's taking time out of their small business and it goes to the Capitol to talk and let legislators know what they, you know, things they may not know about if they're not in small business, and go to the city hall and talk, or talk to their commissioners and their counselors and have a cup of coffee with them, and they get that word out and their perspective out. So I like it. So let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned some advocacy, and sometimes it's candidates, sometimes it's people we want to have in leadership. I think I was one of those in one day. And sometimes it is in issues. So some of the wins for the chamber, let's talk about this. Things that people don't think about. This really inspired me, and I can't believe I don't say it more often, but I heard in the chamber house that you can't have a really vibrant economic community, really good in commerce and economics, without having quality of life. And that's very much understood in your organization, that it has to. We have to have good schools, we have to have parks, and we have to have infrastructure. And so that the chamber does advocate on those type of things. It's not just, you know, recruiting candidates. It's not just promoting one person or an idea. It's all of these things that lay the quilt work for our community, right?
Yeah, I'd suggest there's a lot of interwoven webs that create really what we do as an organization. But one of those pillars that we're always going to put glistening in the sun is the livability piece of what we do. Now, when we look at some of the developments that have occurred, I mean, hearken back 20 years ago, and here you had Steve Johnson and a number of others putting that first shovel into the dirt for the Salem Conference Center. Mm-hmm. At the time, we had access to the Red Lion on Market Street and a number of different places, but we had no central meeting point downtown. That was a great piece of pride now that we look at and we think about the economic engine that is behind that, and the people that have come into our community, have supported our downtown businesses and the larger business community as a whole during their time here, either at a conference, going to a concert, hearing a speaker series, the like, the diversity that occurs at that building. That is the type of really foundational investments that the chamber is going to be on the forefront of as we look long term. I think we've done some great work to redevelopment of the downtown. I'm very excited to be meeting with some of those key stakeholders early next month to hear about the cityscape. And then when you look at, you know, the park system itself and the beauty of what we call the Taco Bridge, affectionately at Don Poncho, being in that world previously. But the Peter Courtney Bridge and the like, is those are livability things that make Salem more attractive for young people to stay here and the like. Those are all part of that web that the Salem Chamber certainly touches.
Nobody wants to invest in a community in which they don't want to live, they want to work, they want to shop, they want to play. Right? You heard that before? And we're going to have to break here for a minute, but I would add, I mean, the conference area flat out would not be here without the leadership and the leadership called by the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. Let's add to the Croc Center. Okay, Croc Center, another nonprofit serving an incredible need and a demographic of the community that needed the help, and that was $30 million. And of course, Jerry Frank had a lot to do with that. But who was right there championing it? The Salem Area Chamber president, Kathy. Kathy was right there at the time. And actually, we had Kathy on because now she's still serving the community as a school board chair, right?
Kathy Guss doesn't stop.
And, yeah.
And her and Dar have been pillars in this community. And again, right back to their chamber roots. So we're very honored that they have served in so many.
I laugh out loud when people point that direction and think that there's anything but pro-Salem. So stick with us. We're talking to Tom Hoffert, new CEO of the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce. This is Newsmakers. And 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Bourne, and we are hosting Tom Hoffert in the studio today. We were talking about the Salem Area Chamber, and it is the Salem area, the broader area, Marion Polk County, and actually that's our mission here on Newsmakers, to educate and discuss and amuse sometimes the listener in Marion Polk County. So Tom has 31 days on the job. We're welcoming him back to take the lead. A couple things I want to touch on before we run out of time in this hour, and we'll have to have you back, of course, because we're not diving into some of the topics of the day. And we'll let you get like 2 months in, maybe 3 months in before we let you do that. But there's an event coming up that's a great Salem event. It is a feel-good event. It is jaw-droppingly inspiring. Every single year, they find individuals to acknowledge what they've done in the community. And you're like, I've never heard. Sometimes it's, oh, that person, what an incredible work they've done in their body of work over decades. And other times it's like, I had no idea. I had no idea that this person did that or that this initiative was even there. What incredible work. But it's always really, really a feel-good event and really inspiring and a little bit humbling, actually quite a bit humbling. You're like, I can never do have that kind of impact that these people are. So it's the First Citizens Award, right? In addition, they do Distinguished Service Awards, and they do a Young Professional Award, right? And it's a banquet. It's a party. Right, Tom?
It's a little bit of both, but it is our premier opportunity to dress up a little. We have a fantastic event planned on Friday, March 8th at our Salem Conference Center. The great work of our key sponsors being Mountain West Investments as well as Pioneer Trust enable us to host our 69th annual First Citizens Banquet. As you mentioned, we will have a just remarkable individual recognized that night. I've got to stay close-lipped on that, Brent, but I can assure you this community will have a round of applause together in the selection of that individual. We will have two Distinguished Service Award winners recognized, and that great Salem young professional that is fun to spotlight, who has understood that leadership doesn't have to start at 40. And
amen.
And when we look at great programming like the Young Pros events that we host, Chamber Business Women and the like, there are specialty groups out there absolutely killing it, Brent. And it starts from the direction of our board of directors. And I could deep dive on all the great leaders who have made so many things possible in Salem, but I assure you, you want to be present on Friday, March 8th at the Salem Conference Center as we award our 69th First Citizen.
All right, so hundreds of people go to this event, and if you have not been, then go. I'm sure if you go to the website, you can find tickets. You can just call the chamber, salemchamber.org, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
So salemchamber.org if you want to look it out there, if you want to see who's on this board of directors that Tom is answering to and what kind of things are happening, or if you want to go to First Citizens event. So, yeah, if you've never been, go. It is a delightful event and fun. All right, another thing that I really like to do, I like to go to the chamber forums, and I always have, because there's always speakers talking about things I'm not familiar with that are very interesting on a broad level of topics. So that's a whole series, right?
Yeah, let me key up on a couple, actually. Okay. Coming on February 11th, that's a Monday. We host those on the second Monday of the month, 11:45 to 1:15 at the Salem Conference Center. We are featuring a full panel on the efforts of the CTE programming.
Oh.
And so it's very lock and step with matching some of the community efforts and highlighting the great work that our school district has done to improve graduation rates, what the school work district has partnered with the business community to create these great environments such as the CTE Center, and where young people can come in and who may not be on the path directly to college. They may not be on a path that has traditionally been seen in the education sector as where your natural progression go. And, hey, I have a passion in the technical areas. I got the opportunity yesterday, Brent, and you'll crack up a little bit about this. I flew a drone yesterday.
Cool.
Not well. thank goodness it was in kind of a mocked up atmosphere, and nobody was hurt in my manning of that drone. But you're, of course, so involved with aviation and the like. And I'll tell you, just watching these young people, and again, going back to harvesting that passion and cultivating leaders, I will assure you, when you place people in the right position for them to feel successful, the personal investment they give is extremely powerful. So I would invite people to attend that forum luncheon on February 11th at the conference.
CTE, it was in the news, the graduation rates are up a little bit for Salem-Keizer schools, and they're struggling to get to two-thirds, right? CTE participants is well in excess of 90%, right? Over 95%?
Over 95%.
If they're participating in career tech education sectors, they're graduating. Very inspiring. And you had somebody else?
Well, we certainly can touch base on the following month. We'll have the Portland Trailblazers present.
What?
And so we try and do really diversified programming. We'll have a financial recap on what's going to occur with all these the financial instability of what's occurred at our federal level and the like. So you can see that the thoughtful programming we put in front of our members is, the point is to provide access to speakers and programming that you may not be able to see any other place. So like all things with the Salem Chamber, we want to create, when you invest your time and when you are there and present, or sending employees of your business to be sharing some of that time, we want it to be incredibly well valued and seen as a truly unique experience.
That is terrific. I like it. It's a place to go. You want to be part of that conversation. You want to go to the office and talk about what you heard, and you want to be seen there as well. So I encourage that. Again, Chamber Forum series that runs September through May, sometimes June.
Yep.
And to pull that in. Lastly, we're talking a little bit about advocacy and some of the successes over the years. We've talked about the bond measures in the conference center and even the people that, you know, the chamber helped inspire to get elected. You know, they're the ones that built those parks and voted to build those parks, and the transportation infrastructure and the public safety infrastructure, which is so critical, both in terms of the police bond and the fire bond and the stations and the rolling stock, all of those things, great inspired leadership looking to the future and the next generation. Sometimes as a community, we disagree. We found that with the argument about how to fund transit expansion. And it's important for everyone to understand that everybody agreed we needed transit expansion. The business community wanted it. Everybody wanted it. But we disagreed on how we were going to fund it. And fortunately, and it was the business community, stayed at the table and helped find a statewide solution in the new tax. And we actually had Alan Pollock on last month to talk about the services that are growing. We have 1 minute, Tom. Just the chamber's position on the third bridge, and I know it's a frustrating topic, and we could talk for the full hour, but before you go, tell us how the chamber feels about the necessity for another river crossing.
Sure. Well, to the bigger point, we are always going to be at the table for healthy and thoughtful conversation, and it will always be respectful. It is okay to disagree, and in the transit, we had division within our own membership. That is not altogether unhealthy for an organization. The third bridge is a rallying point. 77% of people polled are in favor of the third bridge. We are at an interesting precipice where the city council will take vote on Monday, February 11th, to either complete the three questions out there sent back by LUBA, or we are going to be in a position where the third bridge is going to be killed altogether.
Thank you, Tom Hoffert. Thanks for being with us on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.